So wonderful to see everybody gathered together for our worship service this morning. Love seeing all the children sitting down here. Very excited to hear how you're going to lead us in some worship music this morning. So we're excited about that. We'd like to welcome everyone to Flat Springs Baptist Church. If you are a guest with us this morning or have never filled out a guest card, we would love for you to do so. They're located in the pew directly in front of you. And if you could, place one of those in the offering plate after you filled it out. We'll take care of the rest, and we would love to have that record of you being with us. A couple of announcements just to make sure we're all on the same page about a few things. Tomorrow night at 7 p.m., the Etta Stattmiller group will be meeting in the fellowship hall at 7 p.m., and we need everyone that will be here to bring candy pumpkins. And everyone is going to make little candy pumpkin bags that go with that. It's a good ministry opportunity that we'll have tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Also, for the carnival, that's always Thursday, or always October 31st, this year Thursday, it'll be from 6 to 8. We need to collect some candy for the fall carnival. If you could place that in the newer building in the smaller kitchen there, we would love to have as much as we can to make sure we have enough for everyone. Are there any other announcements we have before we begin our worship service? No? All right. Well, let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. God, we are so grateful to be in your presence right now. Lord, as your church, as your faith family, we are gathered together, Lord, to seek your presence and have your presence change our life. We want to have our mind and our hearts changed, Lord, to be more in tune with your Son, Jesus Christ. By the attitude he has, the perspective he has, the worldview that is around us, may it be seen through the eyes of your Son. May this time where we worship you lead us into the week ahead so we can be prepared for all that is before us. And Lord, we always pray this in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. Now let us spend several moments preparing our hearts for our worship service.
Thank you, Angel Choir. They'll be working on their Christmas program. I hope everyone can come out on Wednesday nights and stay for missions. Now let's turn to page 508, Lord for the Gift of Children. Let's all stand.
Lord for the Gift of Children.
So good to see all of you down here. Angel Choir, you sounded wonderful this morning, and I'm looking forward to Instruments of Christ as well. It's so exciting to hear you sing and help us worship God this morning. You know, I always love, starting off with a question, I always love to hear from you each morning we get to meet together. So this morning, my question is this. I want you to think back to a birthday party or your last Christmas. I know Christmas is already kind of close on our minds. If you've been in several stores, you've seen they've already put Christmas stuff up, which is really hard to believe. But start thinking about a previous Christmas or your past birthday. I want you to tell me, what was your most special birthday or Christmas present you've ever gotten? Yeah, what was yours? Trip to Disney World. That is a big birthday or Christmas gift. You're right. You're right.
Money.
Money, that's a good gift, right? Absolutely, yeah. A four-wheeler. All right, wow. Playhouse, I love it. What else? Tickets for a state game, I really like that one. I did not pop in to say that either. That was great. What else? Yeah.
What about a doll for Christmas?
A doll, I love that. Yes, yes. Give me one more. You went to your grandma's, I love that. Oh, for your birthday, I love that. I love that. So you can think one more. Okay, yeah. A pony. I love it. I love that. So y'all thought of so many different gifts that you've gotten, maybe for your birthday or for Christmas. Now, when you got that gift, what did you say when you got that gift? You said thank you, right? I'm sure you said thank you, thank you, thank you, right? You really were happy to have that gift. Now, maybe think before you even got that gift, what would you say if you really want something? Would you say please, right? Maybe pretty please, 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 right? You know, please and thank you may be two of the most important words you can ever learn to say. And this morning we're going to read about a story where God teaches us just how important it is to thank Him and to thank Jesus each and every day. And He's going to do so by telling us a story about people who had leprosy. And what you need to know this morning is when people have that, it's a person who's very sick. Okay? So let's hear what we have to say about that. All right? Let's see what God has to say in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 21. While he was on his way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they were going, they were cleansed. That means they were healed. Now one of them, when they saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 people cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreign person?" And he said to them, "Stand up, go, your faith has made you well." So there was one person that came back after being healed from being sick and thanked Jesus. And that's the example we need to follow. Jesus gives us everything we need each and every day. And we always need to pray and make sure we thank Him each and every day. Okay? So let's pray about that now. God, thank you so much for always giving us what we need. And Lord, we know we need most your love. And we want to thank you for that.
each and every day. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.
As our children are heading back to their spots, let me just thank Leonard for the song we sang, Lord, for the Gift of Children. Wasn't that a great hymn? I didn't know that hymn. But that first verse, Lord, for the Gift of Children, we come to give you praise. We bring them here before you as they begin their days. Each one is loved and precious, yet they are not our own. We give them back in faith, Lord, and trust your grace alone. It is so wonderful each time our children fill our sanctuary. I had to go to the other side today because there was no room over here for me at all. And I love that. But what a great gift they are. What a tremendous gift they are. And there's no better gift we as a church can give them, we as parents can give them, than to raise them up in this place with these opportunities to hear. And I love the other verse says, they may not even remember this day, but the Holy Spirit will take their presence here in His presence and begin to mold them and make them after His will. Thank you for having them here with us today. Let me invite you to look at our prayer concerns. And there are several names on here that we need to be remembering in a special way. I know Susie Johnson has surgery soon. We want to keep her in our prayers. A couple of names I need to add, Jerry Nance fell Friday and broke a rib. We want to remember him. And also heard today that Carol Smith fell and actually has broken her hand and going to have some other issues when she gets back. And she was in Savannah. She actually had a fall downstairs. And so we want to keep her in our prayers in a very special way. One name we want to keep also added is that of Larry Coble. That is Michael Glynn's father who's dealing with cancer. We want to keep him lifted up in a very, very special way. And today will be the service at Zion Church for Martha Causey. She was an unofficial part of our church family and a part of this community. And we want to be remembering her family in a very special way. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we bow our heads before you and open our hearts, we pray first, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for those terrible sins that everyone knows about, that are embarrassing. But Lord, often those are few, and there may be some of us here today who says, huh, I don't have any of those, Lord, to even talk to you about. But Lord, also forgive us for the little sins. The little sins that might not even hit our radar that they're a sin. A little white lie, a little spiteful action, a little disrespect, a little hateful word, a little neglect. Oh God, you know our hearts. And too often, Satan salves over our eyes and glosses over the truth. And we don't see ourselves as sinners. Today, O God, may we come clean with you. May we examine our life in light of who you are. And as these precious children now fill this house, may they fill our hearts with our responsibility for them and toward them. Would you challenge their parents, Lord, who've been given a divine assignment by you to raise them up in a way that would be pleasing in your sight? And Lord, we pray for the parents because it's a difficult task in today's world. And God, we pray that as we worship you today in spirit and truth, and as your spirit pours itself out on every heart who's willing to receive it, that, oh God, you might hear us as we come clean. Lord, we have names on this list and names on our heart that we now lift to you. And ask, O God, that you might minister in their life. Just a moment, I forgot to mention Neil Coble, who's in the hospital right now. And Lord, there are others on our heart that maybe we haven't mentioned today, but you know all about them. And in your presence, as we bow and as we pray, that mysterious power of prayer, of Christians praying for people, it has its healing power and its comforting power. And so, God, we ask that you might listen to every need we now lift before your holy throne. And God, would you continue now as we continue to worship you, as we lift more songs and more prayers, as we give our offering, as we hear your word and the proclamation of your word. May you speak clearly to our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Instruments of Christ. They're also working on their Christmas music, so Have your children come. Don't wait too long because they won't know the music that they're already learning. And thank you for all the workers, the directors and the pianists and the assistants and everything. Those and the guitar player over there, appreciate being doing that. And now let's turn to page 452. He is so precious to me. First, second, and last verses. Let's all stand. So precious is Jesus, my Savior, my King. His praise all the day long with rapture I sing. To Him in my weakness for strength I can cling. For He is so precious to me. For He is so precious to me.
Pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity and the freedom to worship here today. Please accept this humble offering and help us to use it in a way which pleases you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Thank you, Instruments of Christ and Angel Choir, for our music this day. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. We're going to read verses 9 and 10. The title of the message this morning is Clear Love is Coming. It could have easily been Clear Love Has Come. What it might not could have been is Clear Love Is Here Now. And maybe it could have been through the power of the Holy Spirit. But two truths we know, clear love has come, and clear love is coming. I think Paul mentions that in this wonderful passage, verses 9 and 10. If you're able, would you stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's Word? You remember in verse 8, he had talked about prophecy passing away and tongues passing away and knowledge passing away. In verse 9, he says, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away." What a powerful verse. When the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. May God add His blessing to the reading, to the hearing, and grant us understanding. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank You that love came through Your Son, our Savior, and that love is coming again when one day the sky shall split open and You, the Creator of all things, shall step on earth's stage again. Lord, help us in this moment, having heard the praises sung and sung praises ourselves and prayed and now heard Your Word proclaimed, that we don't leave this place unchanged. And remind us that the One who stands at the door of change in our life is us. May we open it and invite You in and say, Lord, rearrange. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let me invite you to take your hymn book and open it to page 611. Let Your Heart Be Broken, page 611. That will be our hymn of decision at the conclusion of our service today. Clear love. I love that dialogue that took place in a movie. I wished I knew the name of the movie. I think it's A Few Good Men. Isn't that the one that Tom Cruise was in? And he was the lawyer. I knew y'all'd know that. And he's in this heated exchange with the colonel, trying to make the colonel come clean. And he says, "Is it clear?" And he says, "Yes, it's clear." He says, "Is it crystal clear?" He says, "Yes, sir, it's crystal clear." We don't have a lot of crystal clear stuff in our life, do we? You ever had a dirty windshield? You ever driven a car with a dirty windshield? I have this note every time. Boy, I'm going to clean that windshield. And then when I get to the house, I got other things to do. And the next time I'm driving that car, I'm thinking, boy, I wish I'd cleared that windshield. I wish I'd cleaned that nasty thing. I wonder today in our spirit, I just wonder if today we might pause in worship and clean the windshield of our life. We might see clearly as God sees. Clear love came. The first truth is that it did come. It came with power. His name was Jesus. I remember singing when I was a youth a song that had just become, it was a contemporary song then. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Kings and kingdoms, they'll all pass away. But there's something. There's something about that name. The Incarnation. Jesus, when he walked on this earth, was God's clear love. He was God's clear love. We remember great men. We remember Buey Shaver, who stood in this pulpit for decades. And many of us would say, and I would say, he was an example of God's love. There are other saints that have gone to be with the Lord that even now are beginning to pop into our mind, of people who influenced us with God's love. They lived it out. They fleshed it out. They did it every day. I'm trying to do that. You're trying to do that, aren't you? You're trying to be God's love every day. But may I say, even though there have been some great saints, I can think of men in my past and women in my past that taught me so much of the love of God. But the clearest example of God's love, the greatest example, the greatest reality is when God came down and walked in our midst through Jesus. That was clear love. Listen to what Jesus said about that love. Listen to it intently. Listen to it and invite the Holy Spirit to ask some questions, because he's going to talk about a command, not a suggestion, not an idea, not a possibility, not an option, but a command. A command, Jesus said, a command I give you, a command. He says in John 15, 9 and following, as the Father has loved me, this is Jesus talking, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken of you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And if we don't understand what that means, listen to this next verse, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, then someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you to do. Clear love came. Are we treating everybody as though they're Jesus? The gospel message, it changed everything. It's changing everything. Clear love came because we needed God's love. We needed God's powerful love. Let me give you the reason why we needed his love so much. You see, people today think God's love's optional. We've got all kind of love, don't we? We can love so many things. And God's love, although it would be nice to maybe tack onto our list of loves, required, commanded, demanded, essential? Why? I'm glad you asked. I'll tell you why. Because the sin in our life separates us from God. If you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, then the sin in your life is separating you from the holiness of God. We don't talk about it an awful lot. We were talking in the C.S. Lewis study about it. But the Bible teaches, and I believe, and the church believes, that people who are separated from God, when they leave this world, they spend eternity in hell, a place that mind cannot conceive of the horrors. It's as though God says, if you didn't want to have any part of me on this earth, then I won't make you spend eternity with me. So you can spend eternity in a place that I'll settle where my love does not exist, where my grace is never found. And we call that place hell. We use words like fire and worms and pain and disappointment because we've never known one second, not one millisecond, not one millisecond of a millisecond, have we ever known what it was not to be under the love and grace of God. But in hell there'll be no love of God there. And there'll be no love of God there. And folks who live their life here and allow their sin to separate them from God and go out into eternity separated from God and die separated from God will spend eternity outside God's love. The gospel was that Jesus didn't want anyone to do that. Not one to perish. No, not one. He didn't want anyone to have that eternity. He didn't want anyone to endure that separation. He knew our sin separated us from God. That hard will of ours, that bad choice of ours, those selfish ways of ours, they are ungodly, and we cannot come into the presence of a holy God unless God pays for our sin. And that's what the cross was about. And when Jesus says, greater love hath no one than this, then he lay down his life for his friends. You want to be a friend of God? You want to be a friend of God? You want to be included in Jesus' guest list? You want to be a friend of God? Then you've got to love like God. You've got to love like Jesus. You've got to follow and learn how Jesus loved. You've got to meet with God's people. Oh, we've never known such a terrible place, but God's love restores us to the place we were created to be. God's love changes everything. God's love changes everything. Brothers and sisters, maybe we're here and we've already settled that issue. Maybe we've already settled that eternal issue. How are we doing with God's love? How are we treating other people? How are we responding to other people? How are we living out that love? Because we are to be the reflection. Oh, we're imperfect. We're going to get there. We're partial. We're going to get there. But we can never allow that to be an excuse to not love. Clear love in our church. We know it came, but we're the church. We're the bride of Christ. You know that Flat Springs Baptist Church. We're part of the DNA. C.S. Lewis would say that we're part of the body. Well, we may be a fingernail, but we're part of the body of Christ. We live because Christ lives. The church is here. Someone wrote this poem about the church. I want you to hear the last part of it again. Or I might read that twice, but it says, I think that I shall never see a church that's all it ought to be. A church that has no empty pews, whose preachers never sing the blues. A church whose deacons always deek. I love that. A church whose deacons always deek. And none is proud, but all are meek. Where gossips never peddle lies or make complaints or criticize. Where all are always sweet and kind. And all to others' faults are blind. Such perfect churches there may be, but none of them are known to me. But still we'll work and pray and plan to make our church the best we can. If you could find the perfect church without one fault or smear, for goodness sakes, don't join that church. You'd spoil the atmosphere. If you should find the perfect church, then don't you ever dare to tread upon such holy ground. You'd be a misfit there. But since no perfect church exists, made of imperfect men, then let's cease looking for that church and love the one we're in. Of course, it's not a perfect church. That's simple to discern. But you and I and all of us could cause the tide to turn. You ever said, I'm not perfect? Well, if you hadn't, you should. Because I've got sad news for you. You're not perfect. You're not perfect. Some of you are saying, "Preacher, I got sad news for you too, buddy. You're not perfect either." Amen. And I receive that. But let me ask another question. Have we ever said, "I'm not perfect, and so I'm not even going to try too hard. I can't do all I need to do, so I just do what I want to do. I'm not perfect." The role of being a disciple is to be allowing the Holy Spirit of God to mold our life to become more perfect every day. If you're not on your road, if we're not on the road to becoming perfect, I have a tremendous fear that we're on the road to hell. You say, "Oh, I got baptized, preacher." Okay. If we're not on the road to becoming perfect, we're on the road to hell. Jesus said, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap." Being baptized doesn't do anything. Giving one's heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ and molding and making our life after His will, that's the call of a disciple. That's the call of a believer. And God knows our heart. I don't know it. You don't know mine. But God knows mine. And God knows yours. We're imperfect. We're partial. Our text says that what we know is in part and what we prophesy is in part. It's imperfect, and I receive that and accept that, and that's okay. But even though our love is partial and imperfect, we must never let it be an excuse for being unloving. We must never act unChristlike. We must never treat people unChristlike. We must never allow our imperfection to become an excuse not to be doing the very best we can for God 24/7. Matthew 5:43-48 echo Jesus' teaching again. Listen to what Jesus said again. "You've heard that it's said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' That was the day. Jesus says, 'But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be the sons," and I might add the daughters, "of your Father who's in heaven. For He makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends the rain on the just and on the unjust." Verse 46. "For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same?" And then this is that verse. This is the call. This is the challenge. "You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." But Gary, we just said we're not perfect. Amen. We're not. But my prayer must be, as I heard a preacher pray some 25 years ago, one of those prayers that caught my attention. He said, "Lord, I ask you to forgive my sins today, and may the next time I bow my head to pray, may I have less to ask your forgiveness for." I wonder today if some of us ask God to forgive today the same sins we had last Sunday, and the Sunday before that, and the Sunday before that. And we might be bold enough to say, "And probably next Sunday I'll be asking for the same ones, because I'm going to keep doing my sins. They're my sins." Jesus said, "Be ye therefore perfect." Be moving toward being perfect. Be better. Have less next Sunday to ask God's forgiveness for. The church, we need the church. The church here, it was wonderful to see folks with us yesterday. What a wonderful day we had. Thank you to everyone who worked in so many ways to make yesterday a great day. But we had some of our community folks. You know, we got neighbors who are on their way to hell. We got folks who live on Deep River Road that if something doesn't change, they're going to spend eternity separated from the love of God. And I pray that the shadow of our steeple doesn't fall on their house. And I pray that our property line doesn't touch their property line. The love of God changes everything, but the love of God must penetrate the sinful nature of people. And how will they hear if somebody doesn't tell them? And we can tell them in love. That's what we did yesterday. That's what we'll do over and over again. That's what we're trying to do with Awana. That's what we're trying to do Sunday morning. That's what we're trying to do with our children's programs. That's what we're trying to do with our youth program. That's what we're trying to do with our mission program. That's why we're taking stuff to Kentucky. We are trying to be the love of God. And people need the Lord. There are people today that don't know. And God help me. If they're watching me and they're reading my life and they're seeing me do the same thing, treat people the same way, treat people just like them, act just like they are, and they say, I don't need your gospel. It's not making any difference in your life. May the love of God begin to change us and mold us and make us that we're so different that one day that neighbor, one day that person that we work with, we go to school with, one day that person who comes where we are says, you know, there's just something about you that's a little different. Could you tell me what it is? And we could just say, hallelujah, praise God Almighty. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. I can tell you. Because I end this morning that clear love came. That clear love needs to be in the church, and we need to be getting clear. We need to be washing the windshield every day. Every day we need to wash that windshield. Because I've got wonderful news and frightening news. Let me say that again. I've got wonderful news and I've got frightening news. I've got marvelous news and I've got scary news. Clear love's coming again. Clear love's coming again. You remember what the angel said to the disciples when they saw Jesus ascend up into heaven? Why do you stand here gazing into heaven? The one you just saw go will come again, and he's coming. The imperfect will be replaced with the perfect. As surely as Jesus came, he'll come again. As surely as Jesus came, he'll come again. As surely as Jesus came, he'll come again. And when he comes again, the partial will be replaced with the whole. Today's the day of salvation. Today's the day to make decisions. Today's the day to make choices. But there's coming a day when time, and you and I know it, will cease. When choices, as you and I know it, will cease. As opportunities, as you and I know it, will cease. And the Lord will come. Why did he tarry? Why is he tarrying? Some have said he's hoping that maybe, just maybe, one more will be added to the kingdom. There's coming a day when everything will change by the love of God. Clear love's coming. In Matthew 22, Jesus said, when asked what was the great command, that you love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Clear love. Clear love. I wonder today, do I love the Lord my God with all my heart? You wonder that? Before we leave today, in this holy moment, may each of us say to our God, right here in this prayer we're about to pray, God, I love you. Gosh, I love you. More than my next breath. Now, we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we have been in your presence, and I have sensed your power in this place this morning. And now it's time for choices to be made, and may your Holy Spirit quicken our heart right now. There may be someone who needs to make a public decision. Maybe there needs to be one who's never accepted you as Lord and Savior, and you reveal to them today that their destiny is not safe. It's not good. It's not good to be outside your love and grace. And so today, Lord, they're feeling the need. Your love is wooing their heart to say, I need to give my heart and life to you. I need to publicly stand with you and let the world know that I love you. There may be someone here today who says, Lord, I love you, and you know I love you. And I didn't mean to, oh God, but just in living life, I've gotten preoccupied. I've gotten my mind on other things. And as my mind got on other things, God, I began to make other choices and do other things. And as I did those, I thought about you less and less. And Lord, you've rekindled that love I have for you today. You rekindled the reality that the most important thing is you, oh God. You in our heart and life. You guiding and directing. You using us and me taking all those gifts you've given me and using them for your glory. And Lord, that's when I felt the best. And that's when I knew I was doing the most. And that's when I felt the most alive. That's when I was in that love relationship with you the deepest. And Lord, I need it back. I want to continue my journey to becoming more perfect than I am. Lord, there may be someone here who it's been a long, long time. A long time. It's been a long time since they came and told you how much they loved you. But now your Holy Spirit is inviting them to your throne and giving them an opportunity and encouraging them. Maybe someone needs to come publicly today, and you'll use their coming to just break out your Holy Spirit power in their life and the life of others. Maybe we've sat in moments like this before and we've resisted. We felt a need to come forward, but we don't know why, we just didn't. But now we're feeling it again, and it's not very comfortable, oh God, but help us to see it as a chance, an invitation from you, Lord, that quickening of our heart and that palpitation that we're experiencing may be none other than the Holy Spirit inviting us to come and publicly tell the world how much we love you and how important you are to us. And by doing so, remind ourselves. Lord, the song we're going to sing talks about broken. Would you now allow your love to break any sin, any pride, any situation that has separated us from you, any attitude, any prejudice. May we give ourselves so over to you that when we leave this place, we will live in your refreshing love in a different way than when we walked in. And that's our prayer. And we make it in Christ's name. Amen. Our hymn is page 611. Let your heart be broken. This morning, if God is speaking to you and you need to make some decision for him, public or private, about your love for him, may we do so as we stand together.
Thank you.
Will you be seated for just a moment, Lauren? Come stand with me, sweetie. Last couple of weeks, Matt and I have been having conversations with Lauren, and she comes today to tell you that she prayed about 2 weeks ago to ask Jesus to wash her sins away and cleanse her heart. And we've been having discussions to make sure she understood that, and boy, does she understand that. And so she comes today telling you that she loves the Lord and that she wants to follow Him and make Him the Lord of her life. She's asked Him to forgive her sins, and she knows He's done that. And she comes today presenting herself upon her baptism to become a member at Flat Springs Baptist Church. Do I hear a motion that we receive her into our fellowship? I hear motions. If you would join me in welcoming her into our fellowship, would you indicate that by saying, "Praise the Lord"?
Praise the Lord.
Nobody can say in our Baptist church we don't say "Praise the Lord," can they? Amen. Lauren, what a tremendous decision you've made. It's been a marvelous thing just to watch you grow as a young lady and now to make this most important decision. And I just want you to know we're going to try to be the church that you need us to be so you can be the young lady that you need to be for our Lord. And I'm going to ask you to join me there at the back, and folks are going to come by and hug your neck. And you know, Lauren, when they do that, they're going to be telling you they're going to pray for you, and they really are, and they're going to love you, and they're going to help you in so many ways, and you can call on them because that's the kind of church we are. We're so proud of it. Would you stand with me? Indeed, it is good to be in the house of the Lord this day, and now as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence, that we might be His people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank You today for Your blessing upon us. Thank You for this decision that Lauren has made, and Lord, You bless her and strengthen her and guard her as she grows in her faith and in her life. And God, as we leave this place, we thank You for Your clear love that came and will come again. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.